welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. How fun to be behind the microphone again. And this week, I've got just two great conversations to share with you. I think you're really going to love meeting these new friends of mine. And so because of that, I'm going to stray from my little format that I've been going with and just go directly into the first segment, which is to share with you a feature that we're running this week on the amazing movie Wonder. I'm so blessed this week to share a conversation with the film's writer and director, Stephen Chbosky. And before we go into that, I think maybe in case you're one of the maybe two or three people that haven't yet seen Wonder, I thought I'd share the trailer and set up our conversation with Stephen. So here's a little look at the film Wonder.
My name is Augie Pullman. I know I'm not an ordinary 10-year-old kid.
I was with my two kids in front of an ice cream store, and we had a very close encounter with a child who had a very severe facial difference. And that night, Natalie Merchant's song Wonder came on the radio.
They say I must be one of the wonders.
And what had happened earlier in the day that just kind of clicked for me, and I thought, okay, I'm going to write a book, and it's going to be called Wonder, and it's going to be about what it must be like to have to face a world every day that doesn't know how to face you back.
Wonder is taught in all these schools all across the world.
I loved it. I read it with my kids. They all loved it. She did something really beautiful and creative that we all benefit from.
It's about a boy with craniofacial syndrome and how hard it is for him to have friends and be accepted by other people.
He has an astronaut helmet that he wears that makes him feel safe.
After being homeschooled his whole life because he was always recovering from one of his 27 surgeries, Augie Pullman goes to a school for the first time.
Dear God, please make them be nice to him.
He deals with a lot of bullying, prejudice, meanness from adults and children.
What's the deal with your face?
Shut up. You shut up.
Why don't we all shut up?
Action! We're following him as he enters into the world and seeing how the world sort of has to reshape itself around him.
He's ready.
He's not ready.
I cannot homeschool him forever. Playing Augie's mom became immediately consuming in the most incredible way.
She really, like, makes him feel better whenever he's sad by using her mother powers.
You are not ugly, and anyone who cares to know you will see that.
I'm playing Augie's father. We have kind of a playful relationship that involves our karate and lightsabers.
Looking sharp.
Thanks, Dad.
I'm talking about me.
Augie's played by Jacob Tremblay.
He's as gifted as any actor I've ever seen.
Jacob has this almost a savant-like ability to throw himself completely into the moment, into the character, and then the minute you take off that mask, he's Jacob.
Jacob, nice hat.
Hey, only Mark.
Have you ever thought about having plastic surgery?
Dude, this is after plastic surgery. It takes a lot of work to look this good.
They say I must be born.
Wonder is a movie everybody can go to, everybody can be entertained by.
And it's about how to look at someone's heart rather than the package that we're all dressed up in.
This is a superhero movie. To me, Augie's a superhero.
What a treat to bring to Lisa Hendy and Friends on this week's episode, my conversation with director and writer Stephen Chbosky. Next up on our episode, I'm so totally psyched to have the director and writer of the fabulous movie Wonder. It's coming to DVD and digital release very soon. And with us today is Stephen Chbosky to kind of share the wonder that is the movie Wonder. So Stephen, welcome and thanks so much. I want to know kind of what drew you to this particular story and how the project developed.
Well, you know, first of all, thank you, Lisa. That's very kind of you. I'm really, really honored to be on your program. And, you know, because I was raised by a Catholic mom. So there you go. You know
Yay.
What I mean? So there it is. So I'm well at home here. So what drew me to the book was, you know, it was sent to me around the time that my son Theodore was born. This is around, I guess, about almost 3 years ago now. And I remember reading it, and I was so touched by Augie's story, and I was so touched by all the different points of view and all the different stories. And it was the perfect timing, thinking about my son, thinking about the world that he and his older sister, Macy, were going to enter, and a world that is on some level very unrecognizable to my own childhood. Yes, I had bullies, but I certainly didn't have cyberbullies, and I had my own things to deal with. But it's so much more advanced now because of technology. I thought that this could be a good thing for my children. Well, you know, every parent wants to make the world a better place for their kids, and I thought this was a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and how awesome to make a project that really anyone can go out and see and enjoy. Say a few words about working with this incredible cast, Julia Roberts, Owen Wilson, and, of course, incredible Jacob Tremblay.
Yeah, Jacob. You know, the cast was exceptional, and it's something really gratifying as a director when you finish a project, you do the edit, you show it to an audience, and then you realize I wouldn't change a single person involved in this movie from any role that was cast. That's a really great feeling. Julia, like you, like me, she's a very, very devoted parent. She has three. Her involvement with Wonder came because she fell in love with R.J. Palacio's novel and read it to her own kids at night. So she called her agent and said, if they ever make a movie of Wonder, I want to be Isabel the mom. Owen Wilson is similarly, it's I knew him from a thriller that he made called No Escape that came out a couple of years ago. And I saw him play a dad. I never really seen him do that before. And it was such an interesting performance and such a... we all know him, we all love him, how funny he is, but I just knew there was going to be extra gravitas there. And Jacob Tremblay is a once in a generation talent. I think we all know it. He's that special kid. He's not only is he a great actor, but he's a good kid. And one thing that I have as a philosophy whenever I do anything in my life, certainly with art, is when I cast, I don't just cast actors, I cast people and good human beings, and especially with kids. You know, sometimes stage parents can be really tough, and I made it a point to, I really wanted to build a family of like-minded people who cared about this story, who were going to check the ego at the door, and we're going to just bring everything to serve the greater good. And I was really fortunate that everybody fell in line and came on board to do that.
Well, I want to know about this transition for you. I mean, I know you're a writer and a storyteller, so how is it kind of... on set to transition between the role of writer, the role of storyteller, and then to step into the director's hat?
Well, I think because I'm also a novelist, I don't see that writing and directing is necessarily different. The processes are different. You know, with directing, if you're stuck on a scene, you can turn to Julia Roberts and say, hey, I'm kind of stuck on this scene. What do you think? And then this brilliant movie star goes, hey, here are my three ideas. And two of the, you go, that's exactly right. So it's way easier. It's a lot more stressful. It's way easier. Versus writing where, you're stuck on a scene and it's you in a room and it's quiet. So what I found is, we all love movies or we all love television. And I feel that a director's job is to be the first fan of a new movie, you know, that person that goes opening or gets the DVD or whatever and says, I just saw the best movie last night. Oh, my God. And then you start talking about it to all these people. And that's how it feels on set for me. And so I look at takes or I talk to the actors because I'm trying to see that movie first. I'm trying to see the best version of the thing in front of my eyes. And it's very exciting when it happens. So, yeah, I don't know about vacillating between the two. We're just always trying to get at the truth, and we're always trying to, live up to the philosophy and the aim of the piece. That's what I try to do anyway.
I love that. I know you're so busy. You maybe haven't seen it yet, but The Man Who Invented Christmas.
That was really good.
Film. Yeah, you have to see it just as a storyteller. I'm a writer of children's fiction as well, and I have to say that
oh, wonderful.
Sense of characters living within your head. I mean, to me, it's just like I can't imagine stepping from the writer role into the director role and being the joy of seeing the characters that you've created come to life, and you just do such a beautiful job. So the hashtag for this film that is going around is this choose kind. And, you know, I really have a sense when I see it that kind of within each of us is an Augie, but then we also have Augies in our own lives. So how do you say that, you know, this film kind of emboldens people to choose kind and to kind of see the Augies around them and to maybe be kind to their own inner Augie as well?
Well, I think that what it does is you know, R.J. Palacio, the author of the book, when we were doing the commentary for the DVD, she said this amazing quote. I don't know where she heard it, but she said, "It's impossible to hate somebody up close." And I thought about it, and I found that very profound. And so what I think the genius of the book that we try to capture in the movie was that the more that you peel back the layers of the onion and the more that you realize that everybody is the hero of their own story and that everybody, you know, not only deserves a measure of kindness and respect, but also to show, you know, children especially, the effect of their action. You know, if a bully, let's say, in school that is terrorizing a bunch of kids sees Wonder and really likes Augie because Augie's really cool and he's funny and Jack Will is really cool, and then sees Julian be mean to Augie, on some level that child might, you know, say, does he cry when he gets home? You know, because I guarantee you most bullies don't necessarily know that, you know, and only the really, really bad ones, you know, may revel in that, but most would feel bad for that they made somebody feel bad like that. So what I felt was the more that we can know about each other's lives and the more that we can understand that everybody deserves this fundamental respect, the more that we're going to act that way. You know, whether it's ourselves, as you said so eloquently, or it's the rest of the world around us.
Well, I think definitely mission accomplished. So the feedback around the movie has been really amazing. Have you had any, maybe a story that you can share with us from somebody that's seen the film and mentioned to you that it was really something? I'm sure you've had scores of them, but one that kind of sticks out for you?
There's one in particular that, you know, it's so funny now because now it's February 6th. We're talking, you and I. And the movie has been out for, you know, 3 months. Almost 3 months. And so I know how it ends, right? And like, I know that we did really well critically. And we're, you know, we have a chance. We might make $300 million around the world. Like, it's really an amazing, amazing experience to go through all this. But I go back all the way to November 14th. It was 3 days before the movie came out, and we had only had like 10 reviews, and some of them were negative, and we thought, oh, geez, I thought we made something really special here, and why are people being so mean to it or whatever? And so we were anxious. We didn't know. Nobody knew what was going to happen. And there's this little girl. Her name is Morgan Meckelberg, and she has a facial difference, and she came to visit us on set. And so I hadn't seen this little girl in, about a year and a half. And she came up to me with her parents, and she said, that is my new favorite movie. And I'm telling you, I'm actually getting quite emotional thinking about it right now.
Because, love that.
Because the thing is, you know, kind of spiritually, at that moment, of course I wanted it to make a lot of money, because it's good for everybody. And of course I wanted it to be critically lauded. And of course I wanted Aryan to get nominated for an Oscar for makeup. And all the things that have happened, I wanted all of them to happen, and they did. But at that time, when there was no, you couldn't predict anything, all I knew was I made Morgan Meckelberg's favorite movie.
Wow.
And in that moment, that was enough for me. And if you want a story, that's my story. And it'll always be my story.
Well, shout out to Morgan and all the families that are going to be reached by the new digital launch. It's coming out on February 13th. I want to mention anything special that's in the digital launch, the DVD or Blu-ray.
Oh yeah, we have a wonderful documentary about making the film, and we have R.J. Palacio, the author of the novel, and myself, we did a commentary. That was a great, it was really fun to do and to talk about a lot of these issues. And also, I got to say, there's one other story that I have to share, and because it's part of the documentary. So, you know, Choose Kind was the mantra on set, and we said, you know, we can't make a movie without about kindness unless we do it with kindness. You can't yell your way into it. You know, I'm not going to be screaming at the kids. And it was like, really, it was a, like a lovely atmosphere. But R.J. Palacio, our author, you know, this is her first movie. Like, I've been around movies for many, many years, so I know how they work. But I knew this was a complete mystery to her. And I'm a fellow author. I wrote my book, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. And so I adapted it myself. So I wanted to create a moment for her. Like, I was like, all right, if I had a filmmaker make my book and it wasn't me, well, how would I want them to treat me? And so there's a moment nearer the end of the movie where there's a graduation. And I made it a point to make her an extra in that scene. And she's sitting directly behind Julia Roberts, and her husband Russell is sitting directly behind Owen Wilson, and her two sons are behind the kid. So I basically mirrored the real-life family of R.J. Palacio and then the fiction family. And I also wanted them to have the day to chat and have a great time. And when I had all my takes, Manny Patinkin, you know, he gives this beautiful speech, and then I got the take that I needed, and then I finally said, I gave Mandy a wink, and I wrote another speech. And unbeknownst to RJ, and everyone was in on this, all the cast, everybody knew it was coming, Mandy Patinkin read a different speech. And it was all about how RJ changed the world.
Wow.
And so we brought her up on stage. It was awesome. Total surprise. She was shocked. I gave her a big hug. Todd Lieberman, our producer, gave her a big hug. And she walked up to the stage. She got a standing ovation from all the extras and the cast and the crew. And the kids flanked her. And it was completely spontaneous. The kids just rushed her. And they started screaming, "Wander, Wander," on the stage. I'll never forget that moment.
Well, there are so many unforgettable moments in this. Stephen, I know you're such a busy guy, and you've blessed us with your time today, and especially with this great project. Folks, check it out. Wonder on digital, on DVD release, Blu-ray, coming to you February 13th. God bless, Stephen, and good luck with whatever's coming up next for you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Take care.
Hendy and friends, I am happy to bring to the show a friend that I've actually had the joy of meeting in real life. And the more that I learn about this man's work, the more overjoyed I am to be a tiny little part of spreading the word about it. Our guest today is Dr. Joseph Dudkowski. Dr. D is an orthopedic surgeon who's dedicated his over 30-year career to caring and advocating for persons with disabilities. He's a past president of the American Academy for Cerebral Palsy and Developmental Medicine, and was a pioneer in the care of adults with childhood onset disabilities. We're here today to talk about his beautiful book, Perfectly Human. Welcome, Dr. D. Joe, to the show. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's absolutely a joy to be with you. And it's true. We had a wonderful meeting. We met actually over hot dogs and potato chips when we both sat down and said, "Hi, I'm Lisa. Hi, I'm Joe." And it kind of went from there.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, I think this will come out at some point in the show, but the meeting for us was really, I feel like that we had a saint watching over us. Both of us have the great joy of being a part of Holy Cross Family Ministries and in varying capacities. And, you know, there's a saint right there at the center of our relationship, or at least a saint in the making.
Absolutely. Patrick Peyton really brought about so much in the way of bringing families together. And as you know, right now, sociologists say that the biggest threat to our culture is the dissolution of the family. And so anything that we can do to bring families together. And prayer, of course, is the most important thing. It makes for a stronger society, and it makes for happier people.
It really does. And while I never had the joy of meeting your wife, Karen, I know that the work that you do continues in her legacy. And I want to say that up front. And as we get ready to dive into a conversation about this book, I'm just so curious. You're someone who's really busy, you know, with your medical career and all that you do in the community to serve so many. What was the kind of you're calling this book kind of a call to arms. So why write Perfectly Human at this time in your life?
Well, see, I have had the pleasure and the honor of working with people with disabilities and their families over the last 30 plus years. And they really grounded me. They've taught me so much about myself. They taught me so much about God. They've taught me so much about love. And, but they're a forgotten group right now. And it's not just the individual with disabilities, because you can't care for an individual with disabilities unless you care for their family and their community.
And so this book go ahead.
No, it's been a wonderful thing. And it has been a tremendous privilege. I like to say that I have the best job in the world. Maybe you disagree and think I have the second best job in the world. But I've been so blessed by people with disabilities. You know, God doesn't make mistakes. At least he hasn't made one yet. And I've been blessed. That's all I can say.
So those blessings overflowed into the pages of this book. Some people might call it a memoir, or, you know, there's some medicine in here. There's certainly a love story in here. How do you describe the book Perfectly Human to people?
Well, the book came off of an article the New York Times did on me about faith and science, because I really feel that faith and science are absolutely cohesive. They cannot be separated. Anytime a doctor and a patient or a nurse and a patient get together, there's always a faith component there, whether you admit to it or not. The second issue is perfection versus imperfection. We are in a society right now where they're trying to sell you the thought that, well, if you just had a raise, Lisa, if you just had a better job, a nicer car, a different spouse, life would be perfect and then you'd be happy. Well, that's a lie. And we've learned that. And that's why in a society we're drowning in depression and anxiety and despondency and addiction. And people with disabilities have taught me to accept myself as who I am and to love myself as who I am. You know, the ground is never more level than at the foot of the cross. And the last time I checked, there's no separate cross for cerebral palsy. And there's no separate cross for Down syndrome. And there's no separate cross for muscular dystrophy or a group of other childhood disabilities. They're all God's children. And they've welcomed me into their world. And that is a great honor and a place that I cherish going literally on a daily basis.
I think you're sort of unusual, Joe, in that I will say, you know, I think I shared with you that my husband Greg is a physician, and so I've had my fair share of opportunity to be in social situations and in family situations with other orthopedic surgeons, and I'd say you're one of the more unusual folks that I've met that sort of comes at your work from a really holistic kind of perspective that really shines in the writing of this book. Why is that kind of that medicine, without getting political, why is the world that we're living in so different now than when you first started practicing?
I think there's a lot to do with economics. When everybody seems like money's involved, they look for the easy way out, and people with disabilities are an easy way out. Bean counters start counting how much time you spend with a patient or what you're doing. And again, but being a physician is an incredible privilege. And being a surgeon means that I get to work on the quilting of God. I mean, I performed 3 operations today on patients with cerebral palsy ranging from ages of 10 to 67. And literally, when you get in there and you see the we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it is such a privilege to work with people and to encounter them and to walk with them along these incredible pathways that we all deal with. And I just consider it being blessed. And there came a point in time I just couldn't keep those blessings to myself, so I put it in a book.
Well, I thank you for that, because I think not only is this a fascinating read, but it's also one that's going to bless people no matter what vocation they're in. Most of us who will read this book, we aren't physicians. Yet I think many of us, almost everyone I know, is called in some way to be a caregiver. And so I'm wondering how kind of what you have to teach in this book can be a blessing for people who maybe are overwhelmed at this point by that caregiving, kind of to help them put into perspective the blessing that comes with it in the midst of that overwhelm feeling.
Well, I want them to stop, and I want them to take a minute and look around you and see the wonder and the beauty of the people around you. Discover it, uncover it, because it's there. I think we saw that when we did the work at the New York City Ballet. And I'd like to say it was my idea to do these lessons, but it was a mom who wrote them and asked if they ever had lessons for kids with disabilities. And they hadn't, but it stuck in their craw. And then out of the blue one day, I get an email from New York City Ballet. Well, I helped them set up these lessons, and we did. And it was magnificent. And they gave us their principal dancers and instructors. It's all for free. The kids get to do it. But then I saw something really marvelous happen. The dancers really craved doing these lessons. And I realized over time that, you know, every one of these incredible dancers starts out as a little boy or a little girl who likes to move to music. And what these children were giving the dancers back, these incredible dancers who are perfect every time, and we expect them to be perfect, is they gave them an hour where they could be that little boy and that little girl again. And music and dance became fun and just freeing and all that. And so what you see any time you open up to somebody, you begin to give to them, but then you turn around and you get back. And that's what community is all about. That's what love is all about. It's this great circle. You can't create or destroy love. You can only share it.
It's a really vulnerable book, and I'm wondering, you know, how I'm sure that some of the people who have read this at this point are actually your patients. Is how you're hearing that people are responding to the book?
At least several of them actually brought it in for me to autograph, including several of them who are actually, their stories are in the book. So it was kind of amazing when they read their own story and they bring the book in for me to autograph, which of course I'm happy to do, but, they know what's going on. I'm not saying anything that they don't already know. I'm just telling the truth. And maybe because I've done this for 30 plus years and I still am in the trenches daily working, that, I have the authenticity to say it out loud. And to tell everybody else, come and see. In some ways, Lisa, I'm like Andrew. I'm not Peter. I'm Andrew. I'm come and see. Come and see. Come on, take a look at this. This is important. Come and see. And then when you come and see it, it's like anything else to do with God. Once you open yourself up to God and God's love takes over.
So I'd imagine that in... Oh, I was going to say, I'd imagine that in most of your interactions, the kind of, well, I'll say the preaching that you do through your work or through the interactions that you have with patients, it's probably often not kind of an overtly religious action that you're undertaking. It's more the mannerism with which or the attitude with which you do your work. And that's really applicable to anybody in their work with people, right?
Yeah, well, I think that's my job. I think that's, you go in and you do it. My job's to serve them. And as I say, that metaphysical element is always there when a doctor or a nurse is working with a patient. And you may have totally different concepts of God or faith, but it's always there. And if somebody brings it up and wants to discuss it, I'm willing to do it. I don't press them upon them. to do it overtly because that's not my job. They didn't come to see me for that. They came to see me because they're in pain or they're suffering. And it's my job to do what I can to team with them because it's really teamwork to try and alleviate their pain and suffering.
It's beautiful. So again, our guest today is Dr. Joseph Dukowski, and Dr. D, Joe, I'm hoping that this is just the start of work that you're going to be doing that branches off into this realm of really recognizing the dignity of every human person. The name of the book is Perfectly Human. So Joe, how do you anticipate kind of this movement that will start with the book? Like in an ideal world, what would be the next phase of what would happen with this project from here?
Well, this is one of those instances where they say, of course, you know, tell God your plans if you want to hear him laugh. And I've kind of gotten to the point where this is all grassroots. You know, this is being the book is being driven through mom blogs and moms and patients and all. It's not going to be driven through any kind of commercial entity. And my goal is just, again, to lift people to that all people will be treated with respect, that all people will be given their dignity. Their dignity comes from God. It doesn't come from your bank account, your car, or your doctor, or that you write a blog. It comes from God. That's where your dignity comes. And if we can do that, then we can elevate the culture. We can rise it up, and then we can start looking at some of these crazy things that we're doing to unborn children, to people with disabilities, to seniors that are just unimaginable. If you just stop for a minute and think.
Well, the words are beautiful and the thoughts are continued in this lovely book, Perfectly Human. The book is available at Amazon.com and hopefully soon at a bookstore near you, but we'll have links in our show notes for you to get a hold of this great book, Perfectly Human. Joe, what are other ways that folks can get in touch with you if they'd like to learn more about the work in Perfectly Human?
They can email me. They can email me right at jdukowski@yahoo.com. I don't mind. I'm a country doctor. I enjoy talking to people, or they can write me. They can reach me. I enjoy it because you're going to find there's a Facebook page being developed. There are other things being developed, but sometimes people have questions and they want to at least talk to somebody or communicate with somebody. And hopefully I can do that.
Well, I want to thank you on behalf of all those you serve, but especially everybody that will read Perfectly Human, because I think that in so many ways, it's not only the warming of our hearts, but also the kick in the pants that some of us need to go out and to recognize that each of us can make a difference in making our world a better place.
You all do make a difference. You all do make a difference every day, every person. That's why, you know, there's not a single one of us that can make our heart beat even once. And so every heartbeat is a gift. It's a concrete symbol from a loving and giving God that he's not through with you. And he's got something else for you to do. And get really excited about it, because it's always very special when it comes from God.
Well, Dr. D, I hope we get to share a hot dog in person again very soon. And until then, I'll be putting up all the information about how you can get a hold of Perfectly Human and other ways to connect with Dr. Joseph Dukowski. Thank you so much, Dr. Joe.
Hey, thank you, Lisa. God bless you, and God bless your continued ministry.
Friends, that's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed our conversations this week with Stephen Chbosky and Dr. D, Dr. Joseph Dutzkowski, author of the great book, Perfectly Human. I'm going to encourage you to check out the links in our show notes. I'll have a link to Amazon where you can order both of these great projects and lots of other things that we've featured here on the episode. And really stay tuned because I've got some more great interviews coming up. And not to mention the fact that you're going to be traveling with me. I'm about to hit the road. As you're listening to this, I'm preparing for a trip to Peoria, Illinois, actually to a suburb of Peoria. And then I'll be back on the road next week to Columbus, to the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. And then it's off to Kenya. And I'm hoping to podcast from Kenya. So stay tuned. We'll see some sound seeing tours of the things that we encounter in Nairobi with Unbound. So stay tuned for that. I'd love your feedback. What are you liking about the show? What would you like to see? What's working for you? What are you up to? Where have you been? What have you seen recently at the movies or on TV? What are you reading? What's going on in your life? I want to hear from you. So you can drop voice feedback to Lisa@CatholicMom.com, LisaHendy@gmail.com, or hit me up on social @LisaHendy. I want to thank the great folks at Breadbox Media for making our show a part of their lineup. Definitely check up all the other shows at Breadbox. So much great listening over there. So load it up on your Podbean app or check us out. You can actually now subscribe at iTunes and just be with us next time. You never know who's going to show up on Lisa Hendy and Friends. So until next week, have a great week. God bless. Safe travels wherever your road may take you. And I'll talk to you soon.